Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Gaper.io. Today, we have Carol. Carol is the managing partner at Ramp. Carol, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Carol, a brief background about yourself before you started Ramp.
Sure. So, I'm originally from Greece, but have been in the U.S. for half my life right now. I moved over when I was 17 for my undergrad. And after graduating college, I sort of fell into sales. Let's say it was a happy accident. So I had co-founded a company with my partner at the time. We were creating a nut milk out of Brooklyn, so a company in the CPG space. And that company was acquired about a year later. So later on, after the acquisition, I sort of jumped into the New York City tech scene. I joined a startup called Main Street Hub as a founding member. We scaled our New York City office to about 150 reps, got acquired by GoDaddy. So that was a really great learning experience, starting in a startup very early on and seeing it grow and help build it. I had another similar journey, if you want to call it, with another small startup called Flock, which later got acquired by Wix.
Wow.
It's fun, right? It's really fun. I think that's why we all join startups, just to experience that growth and that adrenaline of I'm really making a difference. I'm really helping here. Last startup was Seated, which is very big in New York, a company helping restaurants acquire more users. And I am currently at Ramped, where we work with startup founders, essentially teaching them how to sell.
Got it. So can you elaborate a bit more on the role that you're playing at Ramp and what does Ramp do so that listeners can kind of like know what Ramp is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ramp essentially is a consulting firm that works with early stage founders at the seed Series A stage, helping them build and scale their first sales playbook. The majority of founders we work with have a very technical background. So they're brilliant in the sense that they understand very complex problems. They build products to solve those problems. But when it comes to sales, it tends to be a black box for them. And there's two things they struggle with. Number one, who's my ICP? Meaning, who's my ideal client profile? Who do I sell this product that I built to? And number two, after I've sort of identified that, how do I go about it? How do I sell? Do I pick up the phone? Do I message people on LinkedIn? Do I email them? Do I create a funnel on my website? You know, what's the way to go about it? So we help them essentially figure out their ICP, establish product market fit, and have a very repeatable process to work to walk their customers through a buying journey from hello to close.
God. So I believe Ramp started last year.
Ramp has been around for a little over 3 years. A little over a year ago. The founder of Ramp and I met about a decade ago at that first company that became acquired. We stayed in touch, and later on we connected and I joined them.
God. So, you know, let's trying to keep the conversation much more relevant towards today's time. You know, by today's time, I mean the post-COVID world, right? The last 15 years, right? So sales individuals are very extrovert by nature. I look after growth and sales at the company. So, you know, for us, it's all about, we get our energy from people, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, since the last 1 year, everyone has been forced to do sales online, just focus solely online. So has your playbook strategy changed because of COVID, or has it been the same, or you've been just focused towards the digital sales throughout?
I think you'll be surprised by my answer, but our strategy hasn't changed at all.
Wow.
So when I was, prior to joining Ramp, I was at Seated. And before COVID, our main form of reaching restaurant owners was cold calling. That did not change post-COVID. Similarly to Ramp, the majority of our founders are selling into B2B space. And when we talk about B2B sales, a lot of it is social selling, using avenues such as LinkedIn and other tools to reach your ICP online. That hasn't changed. If you're looking at outside sales, then there's definitely have been limitations, but I think that because this has been a global crisis, people have been forced to adapt. But in terms of specifically what we do and our sales method, it's been exactly the same pre and post COVID. And I think that, you know, because exactly the crisis has been global and has affected all of us, people are more understanding and people are more willing to spend time and listen just because they understand the limitations and the whole working from home setup and all of that stuff.
Got it. So I'm just kind of like running questions through my head. I'm really enjoying the conversation, but we have to keep them within 8 to 12 minutes. So my next question, before I ask you advice for startup founders when building sales teams or sales playbooks, my question prior to that would be around Zoom fatigue, mental health, especially, you know, living out of cities like New York, San Francisco, London, where, you know, spaces are limited. So did you face those kind of activities, or the companies you're consulting, did the founders face those Zoom fatigues while working remotely and coming up with those kind of things and challenges and how to overcome them?
Yeah, it's a big question. So I'll try to give you a short, succinct answer. I think we all face those problems, whether you're a founder, whether you're working for someone else, and Zoom fatigue is a real thing. So I think that the key to it, if we're talking about solutions, is structure and discipline. It's not motivation, it's discipline. So for example, when you have a baby and you want to put the baby to sleep at a certain hour, you create a structure around their daily routines and habits. It's the same with us. So, you know, having a calendar, knowing that no matter what, I'll try to stop working at X time, I'll go take a walk to remove myself from the house and create some sort of separation. I'll try to create an office, things like that. For me, I know that I work better during certain hours of the day, so I'll try to have my calls during that time, or I'll prospect during a different time. And, you know, it's a big thing. I think remote is here to stay. Hopefully there will be some type of hybrid, but there's a lot of emotional and psychological toll on employees, especially when you have children, when you have a partner living with you, when you have a roommate, and you need to create those boundaries. But again, I'm trying to give you a short answer. I feel like we could talk about this for hours.
True. So, you know, the next question is around top three advices for founders, you know, when the early stage founders, you know, seed stage or series A stage, building their sales playbook or hiring the first sales executive or something like that, you know. So what top three advices would you give to them, founders?
I'll tell you one thing, which is something we see that founders make that mistake over and over. And I'll start with the solution and then I'll talk to you about the mistake. The solution is that once you have an MVP, once you have a minimum viable product, you need to start selling. Because as a founder, you build your product and then you assume that that's what the market wants. But the truth is that you don't know, and you get that data through testing, through selling. So the best way to do it is build and sell. You're essentially throwing a lot of stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks and getting that response from your first customers, realizing what is it that the market wants? Is my product ready or do I need to iterate? And again, the biggest mistake that founders make is that they're assuming, right? And they spend about 80% of their time working on their product. They go to market, but then it's too late. And in the meantime, they're burning through cash and then you're in trouble. So you don't want to reach that stage. And that's what we advise people to do is, once you have a minimal viable product, start selling, start to identify who really needs my product, who's my ICP, what problem am I really solving, and use that initial data to build, start getting some cash flow from those first sales, and then continue.
Got it. Last question. Creativity marketing strategies, you know. Typically, these are the kind of things that are done in a closed conference room or over a piece of pie where brainstorming sessions are happening, right? But now everyone was forced to be creative over Zoom and things like those. So do you think is creativity or coming up with marketing tactics possible or brainstorming sessions of marketing possible through Zoom?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I don't see why not. Again, we're human beings are very adaptive, right? So if someone can sell $1 million software via Zoom, if I can teach founders how to sell via Zoom, similarly, why can't we use that connection that it allows us to have to build or get creative or do whatever it is we need to do till we go back to a normality, whatever that will look like.
Interesting. Good thoughts, Carol. Thank you so much for being on the show. We could have talked for half an hour at least more, but you know, my marketing team, I hate you guys, but you know, they keep me with it 12 to 14 minutes. Thank you so much for being on the show and take care of yourself.
Thank you.
And we have